Welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to this week's edition of the Blair Oaks Football Podcast from the News Tribune. I'm guest host Tom Rackers, and I'm here with Blair Oaks beat writer Greg Jackson. We're going to take a look back at last week's win against Southern Boone and this Friday night's game against at school the Osage. But before we do that, let's listen to a little bit of Greg's conversation with Blair Oaks coach Ted LePage.
Coach, let's take a quick look back at last week's game, a 71-34 win against Southern Boone. Again, as we talked after the game, I mean, the offense in its three home games has scored 61, 71, and 71 points. I know I usually ask you what you saw on film after a game like that, but offensively, what have you liked from the three games that you've seen at home?
Well, I like more of what we've seen out of the last three games in general. We're dispersing the ball all over the field. We're throwing it short. We're throwing it long. We're throwing it intermediate. We're running the ball effectively. I think it's just the maturation of our offense that we were perceiving that coming into the season that has taken full fruition, and we're excited about where it's headed. The three games at home, it's just, you know, our guys are home. They take pride in being at home, but a lot of it is we got a lot of experience on the offensive side also. So we get things rolling. It's really hard to stop. It doesn't matter if we're on the road, we're at home. It doesn't matter with our offense. I think they're at that point now where they're just ready to take even another step. This week at practice, we just saw an elevation even more out of Dylan of his confidence throwing receivers. Last week we had six drops. And you start thinking that, taking that into account, it's like, wow. But the players and the receivers really took some pride this week at practice of not dropping football. So I think we're going to see some better things even out of our offense than what we've seen.
One of the things we also talked about was, you know, I know the defense, there were 34 points allowed, but one of those was on kickoff return for a touchdown. Another one was a long kickoff return that set up a short field. And I think the other three were just, you know, either big plays that went for touchdowns or big plays that led to one-yard touchdown runs. And as you said, I agree with you. It seems like the defense is doing well on 90 to 95% of the plays, but it's the big plays you have to worry about as the season moves on in tighter games.
Well, we go back to Hallsville. We made two personnel changes. We moved Cole Peters to defensive lineman. We moved Holden Brand into inside backer. Mm-hmm. Last week, Holden is a very vocal player, and at the inside linebacker position, we have very cogitative players. All of our players on defense are very smart academically and athletically, but you need somebody to get you in the right defense to be able to talk and communicate. And I don't know if I probably didn't express it enough last week, but especially during the game, we could hear Holden from the sidelines yelling stuff out. That was reminiscent of Levi Haney last year, of the cognitive side of saying, hey, I see this. Here's where it's coming. Here's where we need to go. And so we got that going. What I really saw on film since we spoke last week was our run defense was on point. We gave up a 51-yard run, and it was one gap we missed, and it was right on the point. It's just exactly what's happened to us all year. But the player that happened to the next series, they came back around the same play, corrected the mistake, had corrected the halftime, shut it down. After that one play, if you take out that one run play, they only averaged 2.4 yards per carry. Mm-hmm. For us, we start looking at that as good a running team as Southern Boone was. They've been running the ball on everybody. I think we were really surprised last Saturday how pleased we were with our defensive run game. There was two long passes. One was on a man-to-man coverage. It's a heck of a throw, heck of a catch. The other one was on a stop and go, and we bit on it, and it was a long touchdown pass. Those, you know, sometimes you're like, oh, you can get those. It's run defense. When we start giving up 2.4 yards per carry on 37 carries, okay, we had the one big one, but I really think with the progression from last week now into this week, I think we're going to see some really, really good advances out of our defense.
Okay, speaking of next week, let's talk about this week's opponent in school, the Osage. You know, they started the conference season with five losses, but they're coming off a big win on the road against Versailles. What can you tell us what you've seen on film about this Osage team?
They may have the scariest quarterback in the conference. Probably the most improvisational. Let me put it that way. Within their offense, he does a tremendous job. But we've seen on two separate occasions where the snap either go through his hands or over his head and be kicked around the backfield, and he picks it up and goes plus 70 with the ball. He's just unbelievable when he gets to make stuff up, and it is just scary to watch him on film. And you won't catch him. Last year, we watched with our players. He ran a punt, a fake punt, right at Levi Haney and Kate Stockman, and outran them to the edge and made a first down. And everybody's like, "How's that happen?" It's this young man is so talented. Their running backs run hard. Their offensive line does a really, really good job of being on their task. They're big up front, and then when your quarterbacks gets loose, it's Katie barred the door.
All right, Greg. You know, first of all, let's look back at last week against Southern Boone. Another game where Blair Oaks' offense just kind of had their way, didn't they?
Yeah. The numbers they've put up at home this year are just outrageous. You know, 61 points against California, 71 against Eldon, and 71 against Southern Boone. You know, it's like, man, of course this is the one year that they're probably going to be on the road after the first round of districts, and that's unfortunate just because I'm not saying it's really a different team. They just they seem to be playing so much better at home, and it kind of makes you wonder, you know, if you're a Blair Oaks fan, like what could have happened if either the Boonville or the Hallsville game had been at home? Would it have been a different outcome? And I mean, it doesn't matter. You can't change that. But just an overall, you know, really good effort on their end. You know, just running the ball, throwing. And the one thing Coach LePage wanted to emphasize was we're going to come out and we're going to throw the ball more than we have all year, and he's not wrong, because Dylan Hare threw for a career high 425 yards, and defensively, I know people are probably still concerned because 34 points, and they're now giving up an average of about 30 points a game, and I know that's not a typical Blair Oaks defense, but this is also not a typical Blair Oaks. I mean, they're averaging 55 points a game, which is the highest they've ever had, so it's almost like it's been this way. It's honestly been this way since the Ritter game in the semifinals, where there have been. It's just the offense needs to find a way to score a few more touchdowns than the defense allows.
All right, I'm going to backtrack to a couple things. One, have you talked to Coach LePage about the disparity at home and away? And does he have a theory, or does he just sort of say it's just the way it goes this year? Two are playing at home, and who are playing on the road?
I have not asked him about that. I do think it does have to do with who they're playing, because I mean California, you know, that game they were kind of caught a little bit off guard by that wing tee that California threw at them. The other thing, and this is something that we don't talk enough about this year, is Blair Oaks is not getting a turbo clock very often. I know you, when you cover Hawkeye games, you're seeing that, you know, more often than I am for a change. And because they're not on turbo clock, the first-string offense has been pretty much out there the whole game. I think that's why they're scoring all these points. And, you know, because the second-string offense scored that last touchdown. But before that, I mean, the first-stringers accounted for the other eight, because there was a kickoff return for a touchdown. I was gonna say, I think, like I said, that's why I'm kind of curious. What would it have been like if those two losses were at home? I mean, would the scores have been the same? Would they have felt more comfortable? I mean, I haven't discussed it with him, but I imagine he wouldn't make excuses about that either.
You know, and it is a young defense, and probably might just be more comfortable at home in front of the home crowd. I mean, that it just may be something as simple as that.
Yeah, and that was another thing he emphasized, was just, they're going to make mistakes. The one thing he did like about the defense in that game is they only allowed 142 yards rushing, which Tiger Cobb the week before rushed for more than 300, and the loss to Boonville, Colby Caton rushed for more than 200, both are quarterbacks. There was a pitch for a 50-yard touchdown run, and then outside, I mean, that was it. Like, after that, they only allowed, I think he mentioned in our interview earlier in this podcast, that they only allowed 2.4 yards per carry. And the thing he also liked about that, as he said, was, you know, somebody just barely missed their lane assignment on making that tackle, and Southern Boone tried to run the same play later in the game, and that guy was there. And that's what he wants to see, is let's not make the same mistakes over and over and over again.
Is that a reason, if you're a Blair Oaks fan, to be optimistic looking down the road that, hey, the defense is going to get better, and we're not going to have to necessarily win shootouts in the postseason?
I think that is. You need to take a look. There's only one senior starter on this defense. So, he started as a starter, but now I think it's all 11 guys who are juniors or younger, so everybody will be back. The key thing is, they've also played 8 games. So you can't say they're young anymore, even though there is a freshman starting on defense. I mean, they've played almost a full regular season. As we're going to get ready to talk about, this team has me a little concerned. Is it going to go back the other way? Because guess what? They're going to see another wing T offense again this week.
Yeah. So yeah, let's get to that. Let's get to tonight's game at the Lake of the Ozarks against School of the Osage. Conference game against a coach that people around here or in this area know very well, been in the area for years and years, and Shannon Jolly.
Oh, yeah. And you and I had probably talked about this after we heard that he had left Capital City and took over at Osage. And we knew who Osage had at quarterback with Brockton McLaughlin. I mean, he was the second best quarterback in the Tri-County Conference last year behind Dylan Hare. But he was a spread offense, dual threat quarterback. And our big question was, how is it going to work with him in the wing T? Because those are two completely different offenses, and you've got a kid entering his senior year, and in his mindset, he's like, I'd like to play on Saturdays after high school. And the thing is, I know they're only 3-5. They beat Versailles last week to snap a 5-game losing streak, but it's not because of their offense. Their offense is piling up the points, and McLaughlin is still a dual-threat guy. He's not throwing the ball as much as you're going to see, obviously, with a wing tee. But the thing that makes him scary is once he gets outside the pocket, anything can happen. And that's the last thing you want. I mean, so I'll be kind of curious to see if Blair Oaks, tries to do whatever they can to keep him between the tackles, force him inside, let the line make him run through his line, and maybe the linebackers are going to pile up a lot of tackles. I don't think that's going to happen because I think McLaughlin's goal is get outside of the tackle. So that's going to be the big question. And how are their other running backs going to handle the workload as well? Because, they have 5 rushing touchdowns from 3 different guys last week.
Yeah, just bring a little bit of my personal stuff into this. Watching Helias having to, in a week, get ready for the Jays, wing T / whatever, flex bone, whatever. Mm-hmm. It's tough, all I heard all week was, this is not an easy offense to prepare for in a week. You've got to change a bunch of things. And Helias did a pretty good job that night of, formation, but formation also plus players. Don't get fooled. And I think, maybe with the fact that Blair Oaks has, seen it already this year in California, kind of learned, hey, we don't need to do this, or we got to watch out for this. Do you think that will be some sort of help tonight anyway?
I think it does, and I mean, no two wing tees are really the same, and I think the wing tees they've seen are Maryville, then they saw California do for a little bit, and they saw Eldon.
Yeah.
The thing that makes us nervous is out of the 4, this is going to be the best quarterback with in regards to the passing game. And if you take a look, I know we mentioned earlier about how the run defense hasn't been the best for Blair Oaks, but if you look at the numbers, teams pass more in the wing tee when they play Blair Oaks compared to other opponents. So Blair Oaks spends all week, trying to figure out how to stop the run game in the wing tee, but they also have to prepare for 15, 20 pass attempts when they have very little film on teams throwing the ball. Like McLaughlin was only 5 of 8 last week. So the real question is, if you're Osage, do you keep running the ball, try to find success, or do you try to change it up and say, we've got a quarterback with an arm, we've got a couple of good receivers in Keegan Vaughn and Hunter Graber, do we try to take advantage of that and see if we can get something here or there? If you're Osage, it's all about making the big play. I think, honestly, to make the big play, I know they've got great running backs, it's going to have to come down to Brockton McLaughlin getting one-on-one in space and winning that battle.
What is the one thing you would be looking for if you're a Blair Oaks fan from this game? Looking forward, looking at districts, and I know that this still has been an important game, but looking for, you're trying to build and get ready for next week when the start of districts.
So the way the district's going to look is next week they're either going to play Southern Bend or Osage, so they're going to see a team they just saw again. Osage's defense has really been struggling. I don't think you're looking for anything offensively. I'm looking at the defense. We talked about this earlier. I think you're right. It's, can they replicate what they did in the run game, in the run defense against Southern Boone? Now, Southern Boone threw for a little bit more than I thought they would, about 220 yards. And to me, that was a little disconcerting because at some point, Blair Oaks is going to see a passing offense in the postseason, I would think. But it's, can you, Can you find a way to eliminate the big play? Because that's been Blair Oaks' problem on defense all year. Teams have not had to grind out. I mean, Boonville grinded out an 18-play touchdown drive. Outside of that, teams have been scored on them by either scoring on a long touchdown or a long, you know, pass or run play that set up a one-yard run. They've got to find a way to eliminate. You've got to find a way to force teams to, you know, move the chains slowly on them because, the big plays are just deflating.
So, we the way our map, you and I think yours and I looks, Blair Oaks is pretty much locked into the three seed, correct?
As long as they have to beat Osage, obviously,
yeah.
Because Osage is the four, and if they were to win, they would flip flop. But yes, they're locked into a home game. Let's put that you can't drop more than two spots.
Right.
So I would say they're locked into a home game. I remember looking if they win and Mexico and Hallsville lose, I don't know if they have enough to. Go if Blair Oaks wins. I don't know if they have enough to move to number one because Mexico's also getting bonus points for playing a Class 4 team, and a lot of times they're it's going to be a wash. So it's just going to be really. I think it's basically the three or the four. I think it's going to be impossible for them to get the one. But again, I haven't sat down. The math is so screwy with that. You never know.
Just wait till all the stuff gets settled, and we'll figure out what we're doing next Friday.
Yeah.
Okay, but let's stay to this Friday.
Okay.
Greg, what do you think's going to happen down at the lake?
I think, Blair Oaks has just had great offensive games down at the lake. The Osage defense has been struggling. To me, I think Blair Oaks is going to score 56 points. The question is the defense going to hold Osage to 14, or is this going to be another game where they get into 28 or 35? So I'll go on ahead and say Blair Oaks wins this game 56-28.
All right. Well, I think that'll do it for this week. I'm Tom Braggers, and for Greg Jackson, thank you very much for listening.
For more information about this week's games, pick up a copy of the Goal Line section in Friday's News Tribune, and get game updates and more prep sports content all week by following NT Sports on Twitter. Thanks for listening.